Welcome to the One for the Road podcast. My name is Mr. K. Alongside me, as always, C squared. Tonight's topic, bold 2032 U.S. presidential election candidates and predictions. I grabbed about six Democrats that I think that have been bantied about in places like Poly Market, our favorite, and others as either leading 2028 or 2032 candidates. The way I feel that if you're a leading 2028 candidate and you lose, your likelihood of you running again in 2032, I think, would be high.
And so what I would say is we initially is that what we brought on to this was also what will the political candidates and platforms look like when they discover that 2032 is now the government's GAO date for the failure of Social Security.
So
which political candidates do we think are actually jumping for joy to run for take the helm for the collapse of Social Security?
Yeah, that'll be a challenge of their administration on the for sure.
They're gonna have to love this.
All right. I thought I'd run down the Democrat side first. The first one on the list is the current governor of California. His name is Gavin Newsom. He's doing a heck of a job in California. Fires, celebrities not happy, moving out, wondering what the taxes were for when they can't stop fires. They have the highest homeless rate. They have high crime. They have the highest cost of living. Their schools aren't exactly great. So one is wondering where the money's going.
And now they have the Donald. Unrelated to 2032, which I am not sure if that is in fact a census year or not, but now they have the Donald suggesting that he is going to rerun the census to determine only citizens can have representation in Congress.
Right.
So that should be... That should do wonders for the gay of in California in general.
Right. There seems to be a somewhat of an exodus from there and New York, for that matter, lately. Gavin Newsom, of course, is also, to your point, C squared, has been a proponent of Biden's open borders. And to that point, how many of the people in his state are actual citizens?
Right, exactly. So that's how you get to their projected, not projected by the GAO, but projected of the DNC could lose 30 seats in the House if they the Donald actually went through and said that we're going to run a census and you need to prove U.S. citizenship or at least green card residents to get representation. I believe it's citizenship, saying that nobody should get representation if you are not a U.S. citizen.
That would
be very, very interesting. So that also, of course, could affect the 2032 elections and the 2028 elections.
Right. We'll see what happens. That should be interesting. Despite this, in some of the things I've seen, even on Polymarket, Polymarket has him as the leading Democratic candidate for president in 2028. I saw one where he's third behind Kamala as a 2032 candidate.
Kamala is actually in this.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They must be so desperate. That yeah. has to be only a DNC poll. They must be so desperate. Because the bottom line is that how could you vote for any of those people? How could any of those people get votes after you saw the disaster of the last election?
So that's
other than a complete economic collapse, which is not beyond the realm of possibility.
That wouldn't be good.
Other than that, I don't know how any of those people, even in a complete economic collapse, I think I'd have to vote for somebody besides the Dems and the Republicans.
Oh, yes, because Elon's American
Party. Right, there you are, dude.
Is coming online in 2028.
Elon's AI candidate to run the country. They couldn't do any worse.
Right, right. So what do you think? I take it you don't think Mr. Newsom will ever occupying the White House.
You know what I think is Newsom is going to be like the chief anchor at CNN at some point in the future.
That's a good point. That's what he'll be doing in 2032.
I don't think we're ever going to hear from Camel Toe again. And that's the other thought, is that Newsom might actually be on some ballot.
Right.
Camel Toe is gone, is done. You know, I don't think we're ever going to hear from her again.
Okay.
Other than a book dumpster fire for that, where they give her like a $800,000 advance next to the Obama book, $800,000 advance, down from $10 million when he was still relevant, and the $650,000 final Clinton book of the trilogy. of the trilogy, and where all three of the books actually hit the bestseller list. And there's unfortunately this huge fire behind Random House where massive dumpsters catch on fire. What material was actually in that dumpster that caught on fire and burned the building to the ground.
Right.
Moving on, second
is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, known fondly to one and all as AOC. She's been mentioned as a candidate. I saw a recent pundit, let's put it that way, I don't know who it was, who said whenever you get a shift as bold as Trump, you'll shift back to something as bold to the left. And if you're doing that, you're probably going to vote for AOC.
I kind of doubt that. Again, unless we see complete economic collapse or a dark matter cloud move into the universe and flash freeze like Iowa right before the primaries, or a huge meteor hit the face of the earth. And I'm kind of doubting that.
Yeah, I hope
not. Although it could be a good bet on Polymarket. You never know.
Yeah, it's probably a good bet. AOC is but the AOC has the plan. She has the Green New Deal, C-squared. Let's defeat climate change. The Green New Deal is a jobs and justice-centered plan to decarbonize the U.S. economy within 10 years.
Well, what happens when the dark matter cloud that froze the dinosaurs with food still in their mouth come in and freeze the Chicago Commodities Exchange selling these green carbon credits and instantly freezes the market. The market freezes at 200 Celsius below. And the Reuben sandwich that is on the desk of the chairman of the CBO, what is it, the CBOC, I think, CBOE in Chicago is frozen in his hand, and the market is halted. Then what's AOC going to do?
Yeah, yeah. The markets will be going to be in pretty sad shape if Earth turns into like negative 200 degrees Celsius or whatever. And it's just a barren ice wasteland. We'll do what we did in Sunshine. We'll send seven astronauts up to reboot the sun.
It doesn't have to be the entire Earth. It just needs to be the financial district of Chicago, since that's right. Where the commodities exchanges
are. Right.
Although I think the NYMEX might be in New York. So maybe if it could freeze those two, couple of blocks in those two cities, we'd be fine. AOC would get impeached, but
we'd freeze
a couple of blocks.
The line I love in this, the Green New Deal, is a justice-centered plan. Where are the injustices occurring?
Yeah, right, exactly, dude.
What does that even mean?
Well, the injustices are that essentially NGOs that were getting money from the government and funneling it into political parties. One comes to mind in particular. The injustice is that is no longer occurring on such a rate. So that is a horrible injustice, I'm sure.
Right.
It's no longer occurring at the rate of hundreds of billions of dollars.
Right. I mean, the only thing I could think of is, does she think that the way the gas companies control the price of gas is some sort of injustice or monopoly?
Well, I mean, I could say that about my current Southern Ohio electric provider getting actual riders because they're buddies with all the people on the PUCO board, which I will say were mostly put on there by a said rhino governor of Ohio, who hopefully gets thrown out before he ever is able to collect a pension.
All right.
Hopefully gets on his step stool so he can reach the podium and gets booed and has a shoe thrown at him. But anyway,
my quick story on that is, I'm looking at my electric bill and I'm like, why is it higher and my suppliers are charging less? Oh, thank you, riders.
You got it. That's right. That was approved. That was approved. See a 20%. Your 20% increase via riders that you cannot escape.
Yes.
But anyway, so that says that there are political shenanigans across the aisle. Again, one jackass party is far worse than other parties. However, that does not say that anybody in the cesspool known as DC has clean hands.
They are
all taking their dirty little hands and stuffing whatever they can in their pockets.
So the next on the list is Tim Walz. Kamala's running mate in the last election seems to advocate riots and like the George Floyd one. He seemed to be in favor of the fire riots at Tesla because he can't stand Elon.
loves to go to China and ask for advice.
He underestimates the size of crowds, he says, when talking about the George Floyd riot and his lack of action in his home state of Minnesota when he was governor. Put on a wonderful VP debate performance, stumbling and bumbling his way around, didn't know the difference between Iran and Israel. A little might cost him a bit if he's going to be president. His foreign policy should be great if he doesn't know the difference between Iran and Israel. A known liar, said he was in Tiananmen Square and in Hong Kong, and they found him like in a college somewhere in the States, and he hadn't taken off yet.
Yeah, and I am thinking that if he was in Tiananmen Square, which obviously was not, I would picture him as one of the people in the tanks, not in front of the
tanks.
He seems like a party kind of guy.
Right. Lately, he's been on the CNN circuit going, Trump is right, but we don't like the way he's doing things. The heck of a stance for a Democrat?
Well, because they got nothing. They literally have nothing.
And,
you know, it's like at this point in time, it's a disaster. Even the Bernie bros, where Bernie seemed like he was for the people.
Yes.
It turns out he's chowderhead.
Right.
And
right.
So guess what? Friggin' nobody up there is for the people. They're all to land there. They're all to land as many contracts as they can and stuff their pockets. Guess what? From the Trump administration currently, you are going to get hurt less when he flips some contracts to gas companies and they're able to actually produce gas. They will trickle down. That aspect of trickle down economics will work. So the bottom line now, as for whatever disasters come by cutting interest rates for his real estate, the corporate real estate buddies and everybody else, that's a whole nother issue. So that's why I think we're even valid talking about the DNC. My hope is that it would have to reformulate with actual real candidates. But since that's a fantasy, the bottom line, that's the reason we're even talking about the DNC still existing in 2032.
Right.
Because if the Don blows up a bunch of stuff inflation wise, the plebs will get a little bent out of shape, me think.
Right.
Me being one of them.
Right.
So we'll see. Actually, while totally unrelated, while I am not a Federal Reserve fan, Jerry Powell seems to have a level head and a sturdy hand at the wheel.
Yeah,
and he might just be saving the RNC and the Donald from himself.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
The RNC in 2028 and 2032 and the Donald's legacy from himself.
Right. And the other thing, man, Trump picked him during his first term. Powell's in there is Trump put him in there.
You know what? Things could be a lot worse. I think the Federal Reserve is a bunch of crooks. The bottom line is that it's been crooked from its inception. The bottom line is that doesn't negate the fact that he's probably been the most steady hand in that office since Greenspan left office, which was 30 years ago, 20 some odd years ago.
Yeah,
the bottom line is that, so I'm not, so Jerry is by far the least of the evils that have inhabited that office in the last 20 to 30 years, man.
Right.
So, I mean, realistically, we seen some inflation, but that really was generated by the federal government, not generated Federal Reserve. They did get money to give to the banks. Presumably, that didn't make it into the economy. And this is across, since we're talking about politics in 2032, I will just say, back in 2020 instead of 2032, you had the Don giving money away for COVID, injecting money into the thing. And then you get Uncle Joe giving away everything he possibly can in subsidies to people that essentially are not even legal to be here. And so, yikes.
Biden.
That is how. And so, why do I say that, folks? Because I do watch the financial news, and that's how we figured out that they see that the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, is saying that that we're 3 months ahead of schedule for the collapse of Social Security, which would make it 2032. The other aspect of things is what was printed yesterday, either yesterday or Friday, is M2, money in circulation, which is high, which is the core of inflationary mechanism against the dollar, against the currency in circulation, is at an all-time high, has hit an all-time high. So money in circulation, how did we get the all-time high? Well, I think the last two administrations, not the last one administration, the last two administrations were giving things away, were printing things up and injecting it directly into the economy, injecting cash into circulation directly into the economy. And that is highly inflationary. And that's where we go back to. Jerry Powell is keeping the lid on this. If he lowers interest rates, the lid is going to come off and we're going to see some super nasty inflation. So I am highly concerned about the super nasty inflation.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, actually, Jerry could raise interest rates and it'd be fine with me.
Right, right.
Yeah. He's not going to do that, but the bottom line is he could, and it'd be fine with me.
Right, right. Yeah, I think he's had a steady hand. The other thing, the quick comment I want to make is during the Biden administration, I saw a lot of money being funneled to Mr. Zelensky.
You're right.
You're talking about where the money went.
Yeah, that's a super valid point, Mr. K. I think the money that was sent to Mr. Zelensky was not money in circulation. I think it was credit, and I think it was weaponry. So that being the difference between, and that is why the great Bernanke, Mr. Bernanke, said that injecting money into the banks during the global financial collapse, if we have forgotten that, of 2009, 2008, and 2009, was not inflationary. And he was right. It was not inflationary because it was contained within the banks. Sending people stimmy checks in the mail during COVID and sending 12 million people checks to pay their rent because they're unemployed and don't have a social security number in this country, and we'll just leave it there, is highly inflationary. Inflationary. So there you go, man, which would explain how ground beef got from $1.99 to $9 a pound.
Eggs
and how a energy company that operates in like 10 states that will remain nameless, gets 20% riders on their on the push through. And so
all right, next Democratic candidate I got up here is the great Peter Buttigieg, the former Department of Transportation chief, also ran unsuccessfully in 2024.
Kay, you just keep spinning the hits. The hits just keep coming. And so there was an article about 2 weeks ago that basically said he took $70 million that was earmarked for upgrading the air traffic control system in the country and spent it on DEI related activities. So the current air traffic control system that controls airports all over this country and allows people to safely fly is in substantial jeopardy, but all the DEI policy manuals that he was able to create are in fact cataloged in a library somewhere. And so hopefully if Mr.
Buttigieg
decides to run, that scenario will come up. Hopefully he's sitting next. Hopefully he's the co-host of the Gabster on CNN.
Right, with Gavin Newsom.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going back to the ladies. We talked about her before, but Kamala Harris's name is coming up.
I can't. Nobody would give her money. Nobody in their right mind. What's his name from Louisiana? They should ask Democratic strategist. What's his name? And he's probably crooked.
Oh, James Carville.
James Carville. They should ask Mr. Carville about AOC. He loves, or not her, about Kamala and AOC. He loves them both.
Yeah, he was
just
not
wonderful. He also loves Tim Walz and most of the other people currently in line on the Democratic Party to actually run. Not that he's not slimy in any way, shape, or form, but he is somewhat amusing when he gets on a roll and starts talking about the current roster that the DNC has that they're ready to bring off the bench and put in the game.
Right. I love the title of James Carville's last book. It's The Middle Class Stupid, which is pretty much he goes off on why the Democrats have lost their, I mean, that was their key point and why Clinton got in and stuff like that, was they had a good understanding when rally votes around the middle class and design policies to help the middle class. And deterioration of that.
Even if they were complete lies, which they were, what you were saying is a complete lie, you actually may still win if it's a good story. You know?
Right,
let me tell you about me being a political analyst and somebody who could probably get somebody elected. You're welcome to lie as long as it's a good story, because that's probably your best shot at winning anyway.
Last on the list. Quick point about Kamala. She's making the circuit now. I saw her on Colbert and she's like, I told you so with Trump is what she's running on now.
And, I told you so about what?
Right.
About what?
I think securing the borders, you know.
He's actually done that. That's one of his promises that he essentially has actually kept. particularly thought was, I did think it was relevant. However, I don't believe that a lot of these folks were coming to our border just to hang out and storm the border. I don't think the walls were really the mechanism that stopped people from coming to our border. Maybe the fact that we weren't going to write checks to come here, that we weren't going to give you $3,000 a month in U.S. dollars to raise the M2 in the money in circulation in this country. Maybe just that we said the free ride is over was enough to make people stop making the trip for 1,000 miles.
$3,000
across the ocean.
Right. I mean, the previous regime was setting them up in hotels and stuff. It was like,
$500 a night. Yeah, $500 a night hotel rooms. Who was on the hook for
New
that?
New York.
Right, exactly. Yeah, dude. That's exactly. I've never stayed there.
But, yeah. All right. Last but not least, Michelle Obama. Also known as, no, we won't go there.
Well, and we won't go there, but maybe she is the right man for the job. I don't know, man. But the bottom line is that she actually is warring with Barry, so that's all good, man. Although she's a bleeding lib and knows nothing. So the bottom line is that, and when that would be a disaster, it'd be like Uncle Joe there with dementia. And
is not interested. I thought I'd throw it out there.
Well, but the bottom line is that I will say she is warring with Barry, which is good because he's a bloody communist. and a CIA asset. So quite possibly an MK Ultra asset after a childhood in Indonesia where the Suharto administration was overthrown by mysterious forces. Yeah, very, very mysterious. Exactly.
Get to the bottom of that.
Barry's parents and CIA, but whatever.
All right.
Anyway, moving on.
We're going to go to the Republican side. That exhausted the great lineup of Democratic all-stars. Now comes the other side of the ticket. I got JD Vance. He's the current vice president on Poly Market. He is the leader in the clubhouse again.
We don't
on Poly Market
know anything
for 2028
about JD, other than he, along with the Don, have a cozy relationship with Mr. File, who operates some companies that appear to be quite dangerous and quite threatening. And so JD's going to have to show us what he's going to have to tell us what he's made of.
Right.
Because
right.
I can tell you JD seems reasonable. Vivek, likely the next governor of the state of Ohio.
Right, right.
Also seems quite
Vivek's
reasonable.
On the list.
However, both of them made all their money on Wall Street. And the bottom line is that via the tutelage of Mr. Thiel, who runs a company that looks pretty shady, could easily been a DARPA-type corporation, or Incutel-type corporation that is really just the private arm of what the government, of what the deep state really wants, right?
Right.
So we shall see.
That I had Vivek. Vivek's on the list if we want to go right into him. To your point, he's trying to become the governor of Ohio in 2026. I think he's got a pretty good shot. He'll probably be eligible.
What? He could easily, if there is still something left after Social Security collapses in 2032, So JD, if JD won, he would be running for his second term. So good with that. So Vivek would possibly be in line for 2036. If there is something left, because I got some bad news for JD, is that his second election campaign, if he happens to take it, which I would say, I haven't looked at Polymarket, but he's probably the front of anybody at this point in time.
He's the leading candidate in 2028.
He's been the leading candidate for 2028. 2032 could be a rough election, boys, if you don't get a handle on things. And I can tell you, things are not looking happy. So continue on there, Mr. Hey, K.
So here's a beauty. I am floored by this, but she is in there, is Nikki Haley.
Good Lord, dude. That's a train wreck.
Yeah, I just think that maybe people are thinking we'll finally get a female president, and all the female presidents who are running seem to make it farther or at least in it.
We will get a female president because I and this podcast are going to throw all of our weight and financial backing behind MTG.
I did not put her on the list. She has not shown up.
She calls.
I do have a dark horse,
man.
She would be what I would call a dark horse. Heaven knows in 2032.
I like MTG. Don't be unkind to her. She's on Alex.
Oh, I like her. I mean, heaven knows in 2032.
I'll tell you what. She wouldn't have to say grade school esque comments like the Donster, man. I'm pretty sure she'd go over and like give him a black eye. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she's a tough enough bird. She'd take you out.
Right. My problem with Nikki Haley is when she was the governor of South Carolina in 2010, probably was saying the Confederate flag isn't racist. It's a tradition that we should feel proud of.
She's been
trying to get like this rogue, weird Confederate group vote.
Flipping to the other side of things and going to the UN and being some globalist weirdo.
Right.
That's for under Trump and Trump administration one, man, which is about 50 times more concerning about some goofy stuff she would say about, you know, flying a flag somewhere.
Right.
You know what? Really, I don't care. You know what? It was 150 years ago, and that's great. It's part of history. The bottom line is that you got about 4 years. You could look back 150 years and complain about flying a flag or putting a statue up, or you could look forward 4 to 8 years and determine what you're going to do when the entire financial system collapses. Let's see what we should be thinking about now.
Priorities.
Yeah, let's put something on the priority list here, man.
Right. All right, next one I've got is Marco Rubio, our current Secretary of State. He's run for president before unsuccessfully.
Yeah,
I think he's done a good job as Secretary of State.
He's shockingly, Mr. K, he has done way better than I thought he would.
Me too.
He has actually not run his mouth, not said anything stupid, dressed in a firmly pressed white shirt and suit, and gone over to wherever and delivered delivered the message. So right. I don't know what more you could ask, but yeah. I thought he was going to be kind of a goofball when they nominated him. And actually, I will tell you what, he has been nothing but professional. So
yes. I think he's done an excellent job. And I think that the way he's conducted himself has done him well to be a candidate in 2032.
I think he's just absolutely, I think he's stepped up another notch. I probably still wouldn't think about him for president, but the bottom line is he's definitely stepped up another notch and saying that this guy is more of a class act than he appeared to be at one time.
So. Yes, I agree. Of course, you know, they always bring him up, Mr. DeSantis, the former governor.
I like Ron.
Current governor of Florida.
You know what? So he's done great things for Florida. Whether he's got the backing for to be president, but I would consider Ron. I absolutely would consider Ron. I will tell you what, Ron's relationship with the far right of the Republican Party, which, and I'm not talking about like the religious right. I'm talking about the far conservative right. So forget the religious right for a second. I'm talking about the conservative right of the party, which MTG was part of for a while. She actually had it out with them. Matt Gaetz was a driver of that. A bunch of different people that the Don does not like at all, I can tell you.
Is that Lauren Boebert?
You got me over there. Well, I think
Teddy.
What's his name from Kentucky was in that crew too.
Not Rand Paul or what's his name?
No, it's
McConnell.
No, Congressman. I'm trying to think of his name. Shucks. It will come to me. But the bottom line is that they are the true conservative nature. They are, in my personal opinion, less seedy, less likely to be criminals than anybody in D.C. Even if you don't agree with them, the fact that they are less likely to be involved in some criminal element or criminal scandal is top of the list. And
that's a good segue, because here's my dark horse and my favorite senator of all time, Josh Hawley. I think he has been really straight and narrow. He said he sold all his stock when he got elected. He's pushing the renamed Pelosi bill to something else. I forget what it's called now.
Well, so I like Josh. He is sometimes a little bit of a grandstander, but I do like Josh. He's a good grandstander, and he is actually about half to two-thirds of the time, he actually does execute on things that are good. About a third of the time, you're like, so you wanted to get on the news a little bit, but then you turned around and actually voted the wrong way on those type of things. So, but I like Josh. I do like Josh.
I just think he's amazing. He just tells the truth. He's representing the people of his district. He always mentions
somebody that we left off the list who is never going to run, but I should never say never, but I don't think he's going to run. He does struggle to get reelected as a senator because the GOP hates him. And he is one of my personal favorites. And I will say, how about Ron Johnson? Ron Johnson. And he has been quiet. He is not a grandstander. And the bottom line is that he has absolutely been quiet But initially he came out and said that the big, beautiful bill was a big turd.
Right. It was big. So, it wasn't beautiful.
Right. Exactly.
It was big.
Yeah. So he said almost the same things that, have been said by other folks that got him in hot water with the Donster. So, and we have discussed this on multiple other podcasts, so we won't go down that road, but I would love to see somebody like Ron. I could easily see Ron and Ron for president and vice president. And that could be a good one. So if you two Rons happen to be listening to this podcast, you two should hook up, and one can carry Florida and one can carry Wisconsin, I believe, dude. So one can carry the Rust Belt and the Midwest, and the other one can carry the Southern states. Beautiful. Ron and Ron.
Yeah, that's a good one. Quick comment about Holly. I would love to see Holly at a debate. Imagine seeing him at the as a presidential debate, even in like if they're going to have a runoff against the other Republicans. I mean, that guy is unbelievable at debating. So yeah, I just think he would tear anybody up.
Yeah. He is very camera friendly. Yeah, Josh is very camera friendly. I can tell you that. And that is, I will say, part of being president.
Right.
It is. I think that's underestimated. Being a little bit camera friendly is part of being president. Now, whether or not he has got the core of what it takes for me is probably questionable. But it's because I am on the far, far right hand side of politics. I believe the Libertarian Party should have came and took their opportunity to take over the GOP. Right. The bottom line, and I would say that wing of the party is the MTGs, is the Ron Johnsons, or the or I would almost say Rand Paul, except he's kind of lost it. And so definitely the Matt Gaetzes of the world, those type of people. I would say possibly Ron DeSantis. Say Ron. He is like he does some things. He goes way out on a limb and does some things that are not popular to the powers that be. Right. And so the Don does things that are not popular with the opposing party, and sometimes, like the Big Beautiful Bill, not popular with the plebs either.
Right.
They are definitely popular with the powers that be. So they're, and doing things like shooting off missiles and stuff like that, and strong arming and actually backing out on initial negotiations with Ukraine and stuff of that nature. Those are all things that are popular ideas with the powers that be, and not the plebs. And I would be one of the plebs who voted for you three times.
Right.
So, So there you go.
All right. That's it for today's podcast. We ran through all 12. We made it C squared. Let me do some business here. You can reach us on via email at oneforthroadpodcast@gmail.com. That is the number one. That is the number four. Our website is up. Similar nomenclature. The number one, the number four, theroad.net. Like and subscribe us on YouTube. We're there all the time. We are on three audio platforms, those being RSS, Spotify, and Podbean for the One for the Road podcast. This is Mr. K. Have a good week.
Thanks, folks, for tuning in. Have a good one.
Holly 2030.